Hello and welcome to Tantrum, our report on CHMA 106.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Sackville, New Brunswick, the heart of the Maritimes, in the traditional lands of the Mi'kmaq people, unceded in the treaties of peace and friendship, first signed with settlers in 1725. I'm Erica Butler. It's Tuesday, August 10th. Coming up on today's show, cases are spiking in Zone 1 and concerns are being voiced across the border in Nova Scotia. We look into how concerned we should be about possible provincial border restrictions in the near future. Also, Council passed first reading of a revised streets bylaw on Monday night. If it makes it past second and third reading, the new bylaw would lift the ban on getting around Sackville streets on a skateboard. The vote was a close one, and we listen in to hear what councillors had to say. That's coming up right after some more local news updates. Town CAO Jamie Burke has received the report looking into allegations of sexism and bullying at the Sackville Fire Department. Burke told council Monday night he is meeting with the consultants who conducted the workplace assessment this week to discuss a presentation of the report to council and to members of the Sackville Fire Department, both in sessions closed to the public. Burke said a public statement would be forthcoming after those presentations. The town has announced its plans for budget season. Members of the public will be invited to weigh in on budget priorities in a meeting on September 20th, 2021. Council and staff will then hold closed working sessions to discuss budget priorities. A draft budget will be presented to council in public on October 18th and 19th. At their regular monthly meeting last night, Sackville Town Council voted to approve first reading of an amended streets bylaw that would lift the ban on getting around town on a skateboard. The vote was close, with four councillors, Allison Butcher, Andrew Black, Bill Evans, and Sabine Dietz, voting in favour, and three councillors, Ken Hicks, Michael Tower, and Matt Esterbrooks, voting against. Bruce Finney was absent for yesterday's meeting and had been expected to vote against since he also opposed a motion in April to pursue changes to the bylaw. Finney's absence on Monday prevented a draw, which would have meant a tie-breaking vote from Mayor Sean Michaud. That tie-breaking vote might still be needed next month as the revised bylaw comes back to council for second and possibly third reading in September. Here are some of the arguments for and against the revised bylaw on Monday night. Councillor Bill Evans started things off.
First of all, I want to start off by saying this is not a simple issue, and reasonable people can disagree as to what is the best way to handle it. How do we balance conflicting goals? Fairness, freedom, safety, liability. A lot of the discussion concerns managing risk, individually and municipally. We should all be careful. But people accept risks to varying degrees to live their lives. The town has all kinds of potentially dangerous infrastructure which we manage and regulate prudently and for which we have appropriate liability insurance. As Councillor Hicks said at our last meeting, the most dangerous thing most of us do is drive a motor vehicle. But we don't usually ban things that people want to do because they're risky. We usually regulate them to manage the risk. We need to be prudent about telling others what they can or cannot do. And there's a big difference between regulation for the public good and regulating people for their own good. A big difference between people seeking regulations for behavior they engage in and regulating the behavior of other people. I am very comfortable with the former, but I'm hesitant about the latter. The history of this bylaw, I expect, is a classic reactionary approach. It's different. I'm against it. We had a status quo and something came along to disrupt it, so we banned it. Skateboarders used to be, and to a lesser extent still are, a marginalized community. But we pride ourselves on being inclusive and also physically active. I think our regulations should reflect this. We have already banned the practice, yet people still do it without apparent problems. That is not a reason for us to drop the regulation, but we should ask ourselves, why do we continue with an outright ban? Are there not more nuanced alternatives?
Councillor Sabina Dietz also spoke in favour and corrected the record on how she was quoted after last week's discussion.
So I want to go back to something that I said in the last meeting, which is I don't feel safe. I think I said something like that. I don't feel safe on Sackville Roads, which is not true. So I think I need to clarify this, because that's really, while I've been quoted as saying that, it's not really true. I feel very safe in Sackville because I take precautions. So I wear a helmet. I bike in the middle of the road if the side is parked with cars, so I don't run into opening doors. I think that speaks to responsibility that you take when you use our roads, both as a cyclist, as anybody who uses the roads, a pedestrian or a car driver. Our culture is focused around cars, and I'm for sure one that I use car. I need a car. But I'm for sure one of the ones that supports active transportation and the limitation of our car culture, or the change to our car culture, which I think is really important, which then makes it, of course, possible to use alternate transportation along our roads. Cars are not king. Just let's keep that in mind. And as Councillor Evans said, and we didn't confer on this, but I have here, this wasn't a simple decision. I understand fully that as a municipality, we have to manage risk. And so in allowing skateboards, we risk accidents to happen. In prohibiting skateboards, we do the same thing. So it is our role, and each one of us, which I also appreciate, each one of us has different levels of tolerance, but I go back to that again. Car is not the king on the road, or the queen for that matter. So to me, the benefits of encouraging and supporting more active transportation outweighs, in terms of that balance of risk and benefit, definitely outweighs the risk. And our role then is not to eliminate all risk. Like, I don't expect the roads to be perfect for me as a cyclist, but I expect for the really dangerous pieces to be removed. In this case, really, I have to say, if we do not allow skateboards and we prohibit them on our roads, I would suggest we have to prohibit bikes. And I think that is something totally unrealistic. So if you put it in the same pot, bikes, skateboards, what are you going to do? Thank
you. Councillor Michael Tower was the first to speak against the revised bylaw. Tower said he was not pleased with the research provided by a Moncton firm and took it upon himself to call around to municipalities with skateboard rules to find out for himself how they handled things. He found that most places had some form of restriction, including limiting skateboards to side streets. He also found that many places had made investments in skate park infrastructure.
Charlottetown, when I spoke to them, they say their skateboard parks are extremely busy, but they don't have problems on their streets. Some sidewalks, but that's only in connecting to the skateboard park. Lethbridge, no, not on any of their streets, unless it's a side one coming out of a residential area to access their skateboard parks. In every situation, the municipalities which I contacted said that their biggest gain was working with the skateboarders and investing in a skateboard park, which is the best location for it. And I think that's where we should be looking. And I definitely don't think we should allow them on Main Street or Bridge Street. It's a high congested and faster traffic. And I think that's, as I say, one of the weakest points. But I think we should actually look to investing in skateboard parks.
Councillor Allison Butcher agreed that investment in the skate park was a good idea, but that the issue of allowing people to use skateboards to get around was a separate issue.
What we're looking at is meeting the needs of people who live a kilometer away from the grocery store and need milk and can skateboard there faster than they can walk there, or can skateboard there in a greener manner than use their car. So I agree with Councillor Tower that I think we should be looking at improvements to our skate park, but I don't think we have to make this an either or. I think we can do both.
Councillor Matt Estabrooks opposed the revised bylaw and said he felt cyclists, pedestrians, and skateboarders should not be treated in the same way.
People walked before they drove bicycles. And when the car came along, we built infrastructure. We put in place safe walks, sidewalks for them, so that we weren't mixing and having vehicles and people in close proximity. As bikes, we've put in infrastructure in larger cities, bike lanes, special ways for them to operate. That was my concern, is that if A skateboard is controlled by balance, as I said last week. It takes very little to put the person off balance. So I find myself in a situation where I don't think I can support this because I don't want to see somebody hurt.
Councillor Andrew Black elaborated on Councillor Butcher's point about the difference between skateboarding for transportation and skateboarding at a skate park. Black added his support for the bylaw changes.
I will speak in favor of this motion for two major reasons. Number one is because of the Recreation Master Plan, which proposes active transportation, which this fits right in. And second, at our public safety meeting, I made sure to ask Sergeant Gagne if he still had the same opinion about skateboards, which he was asked once before about this. And his opinion was that people who are skating currently are doing so in a safe manner. From what he has seen, that's what he reports. And at one point, he was asked to look at RCMP stats on skateboards, not just in the area, but in various parts across the country. And from the statistics that he has, and even just from his memory and recollection as being a longstanding RCMP officer, there's nothing to report.
Councillor Ken Hicks didn't speak on Monday, though did express his concerns over the safety of having people on skateboards share space with people in vehicles and on bikes last week, and voted against the bylaw changes. While first reading passed, the bylaw is expected back for second and third reading next week and may require a tie-breaking vote from Mayor Sean Michaud at that point. New Brunswick Public Health reported two new cases of COVID-19 in Zone 1 yesterday, both in people in their 20s. The active case count in the Moncton Region Health Zone has spiked in the past week, with 48 cases now active, up from zero just 8 days ago. Public Health also released some information about those cases, saying the vast majority are in people who are not fully immunized, and also in people under 40 years of age. The details came in a news release on Monday, a number of days after Nova Scotia's Chief Medical Officer of Health, Robert Strang, shared similar information about New Brunswick cases in a Nova Scotia COVID-19 briefing.
We're well aware of what's happening in New Brunswick. Specifically, there's a cluster of cases in young, unimmunized individuals in the Moncton area. We're watching that very carefully.
Canadian Press reporter Sarah Smelly went on to ask Strang if he was concerned about the outbreak in Moncton. Strang gave a typical wait-and-see response, saying Nova Scotia would take action as appropriate and necessary. Smelly then pressed him on what type of actions might be on the table, and here was his response.
There's a range of actions, as we've done in the past, whether it's advising Nova Scotians not to travel or even restricting travel, increasing our border measures for people coming from New Brunswick. Those are a range of possibilities, but we'll continue to assess the situation and bring issues or decision points as necessary forward to work with the government to make those final decisions. But we're not there yet.
Unlike in New Brunswick, where public health restrictions were completely lifted 11 days ago, restrictions in Nova Scotia are for the most part still in place. That province is in the final phase of its reopening plan and is waiting on increased immunization numbers before proceeding. While New Brunswick is ahead of Nova Scotia on ending public health restrictions, this province trails Nova Scotia in immunization numbers by a few percentage points. Just across the provincial border, Amherst Mayor David Cogan says he has heard concerns about the current Moncton Region outbreak from locals. Cogan says everyone believes if case numbers get out of hand that restrictions will have to be reintroduced, and all are hoping that it won't come to that. I called up Sackville Mayor Sean Michaud to get his take on the situation, and here's some of that conversation.
Obviously, we're experiencing large case numbers in the Moncton Region in Zone 1. And I wanted to ask you, and, you know, last week, Dr. Robert Strang of Nova Scotia expressed that, you know, on the table would be if things got out, you know, continue to get out of hand in New Brunswick, from their assessment, they might have to put in further restrictions again. How concerned are you about that possibility?
Well, it's always concerning, I guess. The border restrictions have been something that has you know, affected our community in Amherst over the pandemic. And yeah, it's worrisome. Ultimately, it's good to know that these cases, none of them are hospitalized. But it, you know, which hopefully will help Nova Scotia determine their next steps. However, yeah, you know, it is concerning.
So you're hoping Dr. Strang takes into account that we still have no hospitalizations, even though the case numbers seem to be growing.
Yeah, that you know, I it would be good that that be taken into consideration. Also, our vaccination rate, I think, and I'm not sure what they look at public health wise, but you know, we have to work harder at our vaccination rate, and within a certain demographic, it's not happening, and we need to work harder at that.
So Nova Scotia, we're still we're out of sync with Nova Scotia now in terms of restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have concerns that us being out of sync will cause problems for border commuters and people moving between the provinces?
I think ultimately what it comes down to is us learning to live with this virus. You know, it will be with us. We can get vaccinated. It'll still be here, and we just have to learn how to protect ourselves and protect the people we're around. You know, continuously washing, you know, making sure we're washing our hands, wearing masks if we feel the need to one, just because the restrictions being lifted. You know, I still wear one at work. I work in retail. I still wear one, you know, keeping our social distance when we can, just those type of precautionary things. There's always been kind of a different approach by a lot of the provinces, PEI, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and how we address this. And I think a lot of it comes down to each province's ability to handle any uptake in cases and how they can deal with that within their health system if people are hospitalized.
If you could put in a good word to Dr. Strang over in Nova Scotia, what would you tell him?
Well, I would say that, you know, I'm confident in what our public health system is putting forward in regards to how they've approached the pandemic. Dr. Russell has done a fabulous job in her team. And, you know, I can't, you know, we're doing our job. They look at things differently. And all I can say is just, you know, keep in mind that, hey, we have no hospitalizations and we're working diligently in regards to vaccination.
All right. Well, thanks very much for your time, Mayor Michaud.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's it for CHMA's Tantramar Report for this Tuesday, August 10th. Tomorrow on Tantramar Report, Meg Cunningham talks with director Valley Stearns and writer Sue Rose about their production of A Banishment of Poets, starting Thursday as part of the Festival on the Marsh. As always, for story ideas, tips, or feedback, contact us at news@chmafm.com. I'm Erica Butler. Thanks for listening.